Welcome to Spiritually Naked, where physical and non-physical worlds collide, offering a refreshing concoction of optimism and realism. It's time to strip down the barriers of limiting beliefs, to master the art of manifestation and synchronized living. Everything you need to live an inspired, awakened life is within your grasp. Start creating the life you desire today with Spiritually Naked as your guide to simplifying complicated issues for real life change. Now here are your hosts, Steve and Stephanie Banks.
Hello everyone, thank you for joining us here tonight on Spiritually Naked. I am your host, Stephen Banks, and I'm here with my partner and co-host, Stephanie Banks, who in the second portion of our program will channel for us a collective consciousness named Solomon. But first, I would like to introduce to you our guest that we have with us tonight is Tamara Richardson, who is an evidential psychic medium. She channels healing and loving messages from family and friends from the non-physical realm to live audiences and individuals, as well as offers soul life path counseling. She has enhanced her gifts by training with TV and stage mediums and authors such as John Holland, James Von Prague, and UK's Tony Stockwell, and is a Lisa Williams certified advanced psychic medium. She has had 6 NDEs and is currently writing her first book, Love from Heaven. Welcome to the program, Tamara. Thank you for being here.
Wow, that's a mouthful. I feel like I've got to really belly up to the bar on that one, right?
You're in the spotlight now.
Yeah, well, we always have a lot going on.
The 6 near-death experiences, they happened when I was very young. I didn't know there was such a thing, but prenatal. But my first memorable was 3 years old when a nail went through my head, which I really don't recommend doing that as connecting to God and getting in touch with your crown chakra. But they enhanced later in my last one when I was 24. So it wasn't that I was unhealthy. I just had strange things happen. It really reads almost like a comedy skit more than a unhealthy situation. So the positive thing is I came back from heaven with gifts, and heaven is real and it's our home. And, my goal is to help with other people such as yourself and Stephanie bring heaven to earth.
Absolutely. And it's pretty amazing that you took a nail to the head to go find your source, same as Stephanie having a mountain bike crash to get to trigger her NDE.
To get the noggin open.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, so it was your head too?
It was, yeah.
Oh, dear.
It was a rock instead of a nail.
Oh, my God. Well, I've had several things to my head, and I don't recommend that, but which is why I'm always kind of protective of my head. You need your head. But, I was playing as a little kid. I was 3, and I was playing under it was in a nice home, but it was a dresser, and I don't know why they had a nail hammered underneath, and it was on the nail head end, so I was jumping around. I jumped around everywhere. I still kind of jump around like Tigger, and I was jumping, playing with my cousin, and there was a nail underneath there. Why? I don't know, because it was a nice antebellum big house, but it went through my skull, and I thought it was water, because it was, I didn't expect it there, and then it was blood, and I passed out, and I saw my body, above and all that. And then there was an angel about 7-8 foot, all white above my head. It feels like it was my guardian angel, but healing my head. And then people started popping in the room, light beings. And then I heard a disembodied voice that it was not my time and I had much to do. And I didn't really seem to care. I was like, I don't really care. I was very indifferent about the whole thing. I was like, okay, sure. So they said I had a contusion, and I had a hole of 2 years on the top of my head.
Wow.
Crazy.
So isn't that weird? It had to grow back like a baby, that little soft spot on the top of your head when you're a baby.
Yeah.
It was kind of like that. It was like soft tissue. It had to grow, and the skull had to grow.
Well, maybe that's why you have such a strong connection, because you literally have a hole in your head.
Thanks, Stephanie. Hey,
it just makes me feel better about all my head injuries.
Steph's had a few as well.
So what happened to your head when you hit the rock? I mean, what happened there?
Well, actually, my head in that situation was the only thing that really wasn't injured, but I've had multiple concussions. So it'd be interesting to do a study and see if there's any correlation between people that have had near-death experiences, open connections as a result of hitting their good old noodles.
Well, I'm sure there is. Yeah, I'm sure it happens often enough. Yeah. Well, I can definitely relate to how you were saying when you were on the other side, you didn't. You know, it's of no concern. You're not concerned about your body on Earth or your life on Earth or the relationships you had on Earth. Everything just feels absolutely marvelous. And that's what I experienced during my OBE. And I'm pretty sure that Stephanie felt the same way during her NDE.
To a certain degree. But then there's also that, I mean, my memory is, my memory of it is different than most people's. But I think there is a certain amount of concern for those here, because that's the choice when you make. For me, when I made the choice to come back, it was out of concern for my fellow human beings that I have this.
Me too.
Right. But not through that distraught. I didn't feel distraught about my relationships on Earth. I felt a total closure with every relationship I ever had.
Right. Yeah. You don't feel distraught. Yeah, it's not the same kind of.
Yeah, not fearful as we are here on Earth.
So I'm curious. So what's the difference between? So we have quite a few close friends who are. Well, not quite a few. Two. Actually, that are psychic mediums. Are you a psychic medium or what? Like, I always have a hard time with the terminology.
Sure. Yeah, I can totally define this. I can knock this baby out for you. Okay, so psychic, I see a lot of people are psychic. They have, let's go to the realm of empaths. Empaths are people that feel things, but they feel things from other people. Like they pick up on their, oh, I pick up you're sad. I pick up, my chest hurts. Oh, your chest hurts too. So empaths pick up from other people. Intuitives pick up gut feelings on their own, like, ooh, I shouldn't go for that job interview. That doesn't feel right. Psychics is where they pick up things on their own about other people, places, and things. It's just a higher level. What happens a lot of times when people are psychic and they're connecting to this physical plane with people, places, and things, like they could read the history of a building, they'll reach their vibration so high, they'll start picking up deceased people, spirit beings. Now, that's a whole different realm, too. That could be ghosts, inhuman entities, to heaven people. And the heaven people are like, you know, the real sweet grandmother that's crossed over, and they feel terrific, and they want to talk about how she loved baking you cookies, and they just feel great. So you can pick that up, but there's different levels of that. When you reach into, for example, in the medium realm, you can get anywhere where someone is psychic and picking up this area, but some of the psychic readings may be, for example, if you get a reading with someone and they say, and I'll just clear this up because this is something that came up that I, you know, early on had to clear up for myself, but say, for example, someone wants a reading and I'm thinking my mother, named Rachel with black hair, which she really doesn't. Her name is Janice with blonde hair. But let's say she did, and she's Irish, and she's got green eyes. So some people say they're medium, they're really psychic, and they're picking up me thinking of my mom, Rachel, blah, blah, blah. A medium picks up, your mom's talking about the pearl necklace that your aunt has, and she wants you to have it. And then you go, no, there's no such necklace. And then you call your aunt. She goes, yeah, I got it. That would be the medium where you get whole conversations of things. The evidential medium is where you get proof of the afterlife. For example, I was reading a lady, and it can be memories, and they go, yes, you know, I did skin my knee on a horse, and my grandparents did take care of me, but only they knew that. Or it could be, like a lady I read, I said, about a green scarf, and it was a pearl necklace, and I said, yeah, your dad showed me a picture of him. It was a picnic. You had this event, and his shirt is open, because it's kind of odd to see, like, you know, a dad with a shirt open. It's kind of weird, unless it's, like, at the beach or something, like the lake. And she didn't know about that, and then she found it, and there were some other items. So that's evidential. There's also healing mediums. Some evidential mediums, they'll just give you, like, the memory, I'll remember the picnic, so-and-so, oh, yeah, okay, people's names, places, dates, which I do. But then when you go into the next level of that, you want to get just enough evidence to go, yeah, that's definitely my grandmother. Yeah, she totally took corn off the corn cob with a knife because it bothered her teeth. Then once you go, yes, that's her. I say, okay, good. Then you go in for the healing message. Your relatives would not come through from heaven, which they see everything. And they can't help not to. They're in spirit form. They don't judge. They just see everything. They have all knowingness. They're, what is it, omniscient. They see it all. They know it all. There is no time. So they're part of you. That love is that connection, that bond. But they just care about your heart area, that you're happy and you're fulfilling your life purpose, but they do see everything. And they did not come just to say they love you. They want to tell you something. I mean, now, are you going to listen to your family? I don't know. We don't really listen to them right now while we're living. We still do our own thing. So it's not like, oh, they're going to tell us something that we're not going to still decide on our own free will. But they will come to say, look, you want to go back to school? You've always wanted to do the nursing thing and to help with that. You know, go for it. This is going to make you really happy. We support you anyway. We love you. And we really like your new dog you got. I mean, they're going to really communicate whatever it is. And that's the healing message. Then when you go up to the higher levels, then you get into the guides, the master guides, the ascended masters, Jesus, and angels and archangels. That's why some people, like, for example, during Virtue, she's the angel lady, right? She connects with the angels and all that. That's why a lot of times I've heard, I haven't seen her. I love her books, and I love her angel card decks, but people say she's a horrible medium. Well, mediumship is closer to our human level. It's just three to five feet away. Heaven's 3 to 5 feet away. So the ascended masters in the angelic realm is a much higher level. So she's at a different frequency. So some mediums can channel and go higher, and some stay right here. And there are some mediums that provide evidence of the afterlife, which to me is the really only reason it should really exist, to give comfort and closure and to prove that there is an afterlife, and it's a place that's nothing but full of abundant love, that is so much love. There's not a love here in this world that we can even come close to compare, even the person that we love so deeply. It's just no comparison. It's almost overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that completely. I just wanted to chime in there, because I think that's the key right there. And I think when people are looking for proof, right, you don't necessarily even need to go for somebody. It's about the feeling that they're getting, and that the message that they're receiving is hitting on a much deeper level if they're ready and open for that. And when I know I'm working with somebody individually or in groups or on a stage, whatever the setting is, the energy changes in the room. I could be saying the exact same words as Stephanie Banks standing up there, not channeling, and they would be impactful, and people would appreciate that, I'm sure, most people. But then when I sit and channel and Solomon comes through, the room just shifts and changes, and it's almost an inexplicable feeling. And inexplicable.
Well, you know what I tell people all the time. Now, I have to make my comment here. Not everyone works with God's energy. There are lower vibrations, and I'm not going to get into that conversation. And there's all different ranges of lower vibrations. But when you're working in God's pure energy, it is euphoric and high. And I always bring in the whole team, the shoot match. I bring in Jesus, God, archangels. I bring in my family, the whole clan from way back, when I do like a live show or whatever. But what I tell people is not the words when I'm doing this. When I say out, I pray, I get into a state of gratitude, I surrender to God, and just to show appreciation, thank you, you know, for letting me to help people. But it's not the words that are said, but it's more than words, because there are people that have left my show that, unbeknownst to me, to later on, because it's not me, it's God. You know, he just uses us as vessels, right? That, and not just us, but many people, he loves to use people as his vessels to help heal people. But like a lady left my show that her liver was healed. Well, that was just the energy that was in the room. I mean, you got God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, you know, archangels, who else knows that's in the room? You know what I mean? You got that frequency, and people somehow are changed. So, it's always been my dream, and I don't know energetically how I would do it, to be able to have an auditorium room and have several people with gifts, and then different people take turns energetically and just have the whole freaking auditorium like heal everybody from whatever's needed on whatever emotional, physical, spiritual level that's needed. I mean, why not? Because there's no limits with God.
That's so true. And I've witnessed that healing firsthand through a Solomon session, and found it to be highly impactful to be a witness to. And you were speaking, since you were speaking of Jesus, I understand during one of your NDEs, you spent 3 earth days with him. I was wondering if you could talk to us a little bit more about that experience.
Yes, it's one of my favorites. Well, just quickly, my next fifth one, I had a car thing, and it was another head thing again, okay? So that was my nose. Afterwards, I had a couple surgeries because I had so much cartilage. The next one that I had was the next year after that, and it was not a car accident. I was a kid. I was just in the car. But the next one is I got strep throat, and I got pneumonia, and I died. And what happened was, it's funny because just recently, I mean, literally like just maybe 4 or 5 months ago, I asked my mom never told me I died or anything like this. So I was like, what the heck? So I asked mom, I was like, mom, you know, you said I had a sore throat and I went to the emergency room. Why don't you tell me what really happened? Because I remember all of that. I have like pages of this where I wrote everything down, and that's not what happened. I saw where my lungs collapsed. The doctor was saying that my bronchial tooth collapsed. We're trying to pump kind of goop out. It was so gross. I was like, left the emergency room and just kind of wandered down through the hall. And she, anyway, but I asked my mom, she goes, well, it's upsetting. I'd rather not talk about it. I'm like, well, gee whiz, I'm going to want to die. And so she said, well, you died of pneumonia. I said, yeah, I know, because I saw it. So I think that kind of freaked her out, because I was actually never told this. And it's funny, a lot of people in operating rooms or even parents, they don't tell their kids, but yet they start, it starts coming through in their dreams and through life, and they become obsessed with it, like I have always been, you know, from, I would say, forever, but 12 years on. What happened to me when they rushed me to the emergency room, and it was actually during Martin Luther King when he was shot in the riots. It was in Raleigh, North Carolina, and they actually, they had martial law. No one was supposed to be on the road, so there was military everywhere. My dad was on. He worked at a radio station. He was a radio announcer, and we had to get special permission. We were in the Kicks car, special permission to get through the barricades. He said, my daughter's dying, and I got to get her to the hospital. So I was outside of the body and already gone limp and watched all this. And when I went into the emergency room, I was already outside my body, and I was dead on arrival. And I was dead. I heard the doctors telling me that it had been 10 minutes. But what happened is because my lungs had collapsed, I was in such a bad state, they put me in an induced coma for 3 days. But what happened during the hospital room was really amazing. I noticed that, you know, I was watching people over me and what they were saying, and it kind of grossed me out. I really didn't want to see it. So I'm zooming down the halls in spirit form like lightning, like a bullet, and I'm meeting all these people that are, like, dying in the hospital, like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, hey. And one lady said, little girl, can I talk to you? She didn't understand why she was still aware. You know, her spirit was still aware, even though her body was gone. And I saw a little girl, Alicia, that was a brownie, like a brownie Girl Scout, you know, in the hall. I'm looking at the vending machine, and I go back in, and there was a woman that was a Catholic nun, because she's kissing on her rosary, and she said, blessed are the innocent. And I kind of got the feeling that was her ministry when she was alive, and she was a spirit person. And then there was a Jewish priest, but he was Italian because he goes Buonavita, but he had the Siddic, you know, Siddic Jew, you know, he had the long, the sides and the hat. And so, you know, at a hospital, I think, you know, over the years, people have ministries that help people. And so in spirit, they still take their job seriously. They're still there. So I'm running down the halls in spirit form, and I'm seeing the elevator. And I would say by then it was like, I guess that would be late 60s, early 70s. So it's like a sort of a modern-looking elevator. But beside of it was an old elevator that opened up like the brass ones that was the accordion. And there was someone that was painting to the side. So that was like a 20s, 30s elevator beside the modern one. And there was a guy that was in a 50s wear painting. And there were two women in a gurney that had 40s-looking nursing outfits. So I saw different time periods layered that were going on. And then I looked to the right, and I saw children playing, and then I saw a man kneeling, and he grabbed my hand, he held my hand, and he's kneeling, because I'm little, I'm, you know, 5, 6 years old, so I'm kneeling, and I said, oh, you're that man I talked to, and he started giggling, he goes, yes, I am, and it was Jesus. And he said, well, you have to go back. And I said, well, they're here, and I don't want to go back. So let's start arguing. And he said, well, there's a sequence of events that you have to be a part of. And he showed me, kind of like in that movie, what is it, the Jimmy Stewart movie, he shows me, like, pictures of what would it be without me. And he showed my mom crying, and she was so beautiful. She had long blonde hair, and he's showing me her crying, and he said, you have to go back. And so I really still wasn't sold on this idea. And then he took something off from his sash, and he wrapped it on my left arm, and he wrapped this thing around me like, I almost want to say like a friendship bracelet, but it was a sash. And he said, I wrap you with my love, wisdom, and protection. Much is given, and much you shall give. Through the small things, the big things will be accomplished. And through the big things, the small things will be acknowledged. And then he began to tell me that he wanted me to spread God's love to this world. And he told me a whole bunch of things. And as I walked with him, the flower, well, what it looked like to me and my memory of this, which is very vivid. First of all, the colors are more vivid than here in heaven. Everything looks great. And I also was told, and I get told a lot by my guides and my angels, and Jesus comes through all the time, is that eternity is not a length of time, because there is no time in heaven, but it is a state of beingness. So everything, while it's eternal, it's young, it's healthy, nothing rots, nothing ages. So everything looks terrific. But there was rainbows, waterfalls, but the flowers and the trees followed Jesus. He was like the source of all things. They moved when he walked, like they had life within them. And it's like everything, like it was like planet Jesus. Everything was following him. And I just remember when I was with him, I felt completely complete. Like I had no other question about any question I'd ever had in my life. And there was so much love emanating from him that I, even with what he was asking me to do, I have my doubts. He told me, he said, I would not be alone. And so I get the feeling now I meet people and I'm like, oh, they're part of the bringing heaven to earth group. And I think that's it. There's certain people that have agreed to do, to enlighten the world. And, you know, is it because of, you know, maybe all these overts and things I need to make up for? Or is it because I'm more ascended? Or is it because I'm just a normal person that agreed and said yes? I don't really know. I guess it doesn't really matter. But it's funny because for years I led a normal, say, normal life. You know, went to college, got married, owned an ad agency 25 years. And then now all I care about is trying to bring more love to this world and try to be closer to what he was. And I don't even know what that fully, but that's, it's become something that's really, it's more of who, the real person of who I am. And I think who we all are.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really powerful message, and it doesn't matter what that is for somebody. The message that I was personally trying to get out there on the weekend at a speaking event was that the time is now to be who you feel comfortable with, really reevaluating who we are and living from that place on an everyday moment-to-moment basis. And especially for people that are younger listening, well, even if you're not younger, if you're living a life that feels wrong, that feels like it's not you, then now's the time to change, and now's the time to take steps in that direction and to recognize that most of us feel that there is a bigger purpose, that there is a divine source, creation, whatever that means to somebody, that is holding us all together, that we're part of that, and that each one of us is such an creative, inspiring piece of that potential of that whole.
Absolutely. I feel like that it's funny that all these years I tried to without, well, you know, to a degree we have to live in this world and function, right? You know, we can't just, you know, ignore bills and ignore eating, and to a degree we have to participate. But when I started, and it's a process like layers of an onion, but especially looking back, like you were saying, very young people, about going the path of everybody else and being like everyone else, or trying to fit into the picture of what maybe your parents or your family want you to be, or your spouse or whatever. That, to me, is where it's a trap within a trap. And once you start listening to your heart, which is where you connect to God, and just listen in the silence and be in a state of gratitude and just listen. And then it's funny, I always get people, you know, I love helping people, and I love when I do life path medium or, you know, guide readings or this kind of thing. However, everybody's got, to a degree, that connection with God. So I like to encourage people to do it on their own. And it's funny, when you sit in the silence and you in this wonderful state of gratitude of the life that you have, and just stay in that bask in that glory of God, after you do that a while, there's no, you're going to get messages. So I tell people to keep a journal. I think it's always funny when I get a call, oh my gosh, I'm getting messages. What do you wanted to hear from God? You know, don't complain to me, write it down.
<That's>
because
so true.
He really will connect with all of us. I mean, we're all part of, I say heaven is home, we're all part of that. He wants to hear from all of us. And, you know, God forbid, you know, for some reason that the grid would go out and there would be no communication or TV or this or that or internet for a while. But if they did and we were like, holy smokes, what's going on, right? We have an invasion. Are they aliens or what? You know, what the heck? If we have that connection with God, we'll get all the answers that we need. We are automatically connected to Source and God just by the fact that we are a part of that Source, a part of Him, it, who, you know, Mother, Father, whatever you want to call it, but we're part of that divine love. So if we can tap into that, it's just our birthright. We don't have to do anything special. I mean, there are certain things I think that separate you from God, like a lot of booze or a lot of negativity, or, you know, you need to be in a place of surrender and silence to hear. But to me, it's something that is a simple message, and just following your own heart, then that's where your purpose is. Your purpose is bringing more love to this planet, however you do it.
Exactly. I absolutely agree. And there are many ways that we disconnect from ourselves. And really, that's all it is disconnecting from our authentic self, our heart, and our own connection to Source, as you had said. And Tamara, we're out of time for this portion of the program. Would you like to let everyone
sure.
know where they can find you and how to connect?
And your book. We didn't even get to talk about
we
your
didn't
book.
Even
so
get
maybe
to talk
you can
about
at least introduce your book
that's
to everyone.
Totally, that's totally fun. I really appreciate y'all having me on. I think you're just beautiful what you're doing. Yes, about me, Tamara Calder Richardson. You can reach me at Southern Bell Medium, and Bell is B-E-L-L-E, southernbellmedium.com. I'm located in Charlotte, North Carolina. Do readings all over the world through Skype and phone. And my book is Love from Heaven, My 6 NDEs, or 6 Near-Death Experiences, The Gifts I Receive and the Wisdom I Learn. That will be out in July, and I'm also starting a online spiritual universities of several videos on there that will be channeled classes for a nominal fee, like $20 or whatever, something affordable. And that's why I wanted to do this, and to be able to get that message out on self-love. But it's called self-love, and there's many other topics on there, but it's enlightenuniversity.com. So stay posted. March, that'll be live. And thank you both. I just many blessings and thank yous for both of you.
Yeah, fantastic. And everyone stay tuned, and we'll be back with Tamara and Solomon.
It is our pleasure to be here with you again in this time, in your space of this reality of your life, as you live a human life in conjunction with a divine spiritual life. For many of you, this can cause a wee bit of confusion from time to time. And we come to you for the sole purpose of aiding and supporting you on your journey. So we thank you for this opportunity to come to you. We come to you with a mutual love for one another. Without your love and support of us, you would not be calling upon us to come and greet you in this way. So we thank you for your love and trust as we support one another on our journeys. We would like to offer you this opportunity to put forth any questions or queries, and we will do our best to appease your curiosities.
Solomon, I have a question. This is Tamara Richardson in this life now. And I wanted to know, as far as my life that I have had with you or with Jesus, I feel like that it's profound and that I have witnessed and been a part of this in different capacities, and wanted to know what that might be, what life might that be, or might would be the name that I would be known at that time.
You were very much a part of the community at the time in Israel, in the area known now as Jerusalem. You were a man. We will not at this point give you your name, for you are on your own journey to discover that. We would spoil the surprise, so to speak. But you were a male. You were very much a impartial being, we'll say. In other words, taking sides was not your forte. You prefer to be the middleman. You prefer to be that of a mediator, that of a peaceful warrior, let's say, bringing peace to those around you in whatever capacity you could bring that to them. You are very much well respected, well loved, well received by even those that seem to be the fiercest of the fierce. Does this make sense to you?
Yes. 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 So in this capacity, I was able to communicate with many that had wealth and did not have wealth.
And there was nothing separating you from anyone at any time for any reason. You had a very unique ability to communicate with all humans and all beings as though you were, in fact, one of them. Which, of course, we all realize and recognize that you all are. But from human form, this is not a position that many of you choose to take. In this lifetime for you, this was an easy role for you. You allowed yourself to meld in to any situation by the form of using compassionate living, compassionate understanding, a higher awareness than many at your time, yes?
Yes.
And this still seems to be par for your course, yes?
Yes. Was I one of the apostles or part of the inner circle?
Yes. That is about all we will give you at this time.
Yes, I feel this, so confirmation is appreciated. And therefore, today I feel like I also act like an apostle, as once I did before.
You are an apostle. You are doing the same work, just in a slightly different form, in a different time period, as a different human being, yes. But you are still on the same path. You are still teaching the same kinds of things, just from a slightly different perspective. This will be your path from now on. This is your path of choosing. This is your preferred path, yes? You are graduating yourself out of the idea of the normal life as a human being.
Yes.
But the paradox being that this is the path of many of you. This is part of the turning point in your evolution as human beings. That what now appears to be normal will become less and less normal, and what appears to be abnormal will become more normal. Yes?
Yes. And so the sadness, as I feel, is the separation. But yes, I feel wholeness and happiness because I feel a wholeness.
The idea of separation, yes, is very much present still. But for many of you, the feeling of being separated is what is propelling you into the idea of unification.
Yes. So to be an ascended master, does that mean one doesn't have to come back anymore? Is that upon an individual choosing at that time?
Everything is an individual choosing in every moment. Although there are moments when there may be a little bit more, let's say in human language here only, a little bit more pressure to move in one direction or another. But ultimately, in the end, it is always a personal choice. an ascended master may choose not to come back to Earth as a human being, or they may. There is a time period approaching according to where things are at right now, where an abundance of these, let's say, ascended masters, we don't really like that word so much, but we understand what you're saying, will return to Earth for the purpose of elevating the already heightened awareness to stabilize the idea of this heightened vibration. In which case, you may experience more and more of these, let's say, ascended masters in human form at some point in your future.
Solomon, may I ask how many ascended masters are on this earth plane at this time?
In and around the 3,000 area.
And the purpose? To raise consciousness, but why is being in human form so necessary?
That depends on the individual that has chosen to come back to play that role. Sometimes it is merely for the idea of reaching more directly through the physical form. Those that would like to be touched this way, if you understand what we're trying to say here.
It's humanity, it's the personal touch. It's reaching one's heart.
Sometimes with some people, this is the only way that they will remember their purpose. They have requested this wake-up call in this form prior to coming back into this lifetime. Therefore, there are moments in time when one will choose to come back into physical form for a very, very brief time.
Yeah.
Sometimes for a millisecond, and then will disappear once again. Physically.
Is it true that the separation between this earth plane and what we call the heavenly realms or the higher levels, is it true that there is less separation now and that almost like they're meeting in the middle, but there's a different vibrational, event that's occurring? There's a shift?
Yes. Yes. Yes, there is a shift in the human consciousness, and along with the shift in human consciousness is an elevation in the vibration as a whole, as a community. You are going through a period of time, however, where there will be spikes and dips and spikes and dips, and you'll feel this on an individual level as well as on a collective level. You are at a turning point in your history. You're at a turning point in which direction you are all deciding to go. This is why we come to you as a support to you more frequently now through many of you upon request, allowing for the momentum to grow, to shift in the direction that you would like it to shift. This is, again, up to you as a human being on your planet now. From our perspective, from this realm, all is eternal regardless of what happens on the planet. Yet as a human being on the planet, it is very important to make your choices in every moment of every day that are reflective of where you would like to see your own planet in 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, 500 years, 5,000 years, 500,000 years. There is quite an importance to be placed on your focused attention in every moment, in every situation of every day, yes?
Yes.
And an understanding of how that focused attention relates to your current reality. Not just of your own world in which you live, in terms of your home, your family, your community, but also as a global aspect, as a global view. How are you individually in this lifetime right now affecting your entire global community that then stretches far beyond the Earth's atmosphere? Yes?
Hmm. seems like a tall order. Can much of this be done also, like in a dream state and a journey state?
Yes, of course.
It's not just completely contained in the shell of a frail human body.
Yes, of course, but it does not need to be a tall order. This is where the human mind shifts what your heart and your soul are bringing to you and shifts it into the high gear of almost as though it's overwhelming. But this is not really a tall order. Should you simply live the life that you prefer to live with the idea of keeping your human family close to heart? Yes?
Yeah, so part of this is saying that this is a connected network of this is for the highest good for all involved and not just, say, myself or oneself, then it's almost like the universe complies.
It isn't almost if, it really just is. Yes, the universe is working with you. The universe is working with you on your journey, regardless of where your vibration tells us you would like to be. In other words, what you are asking for, what you are seeking from a level of vibration will be supported by those in the non-physical, by those in what you would call heaven, by those in the energetic vibration that surrounds you.
Yes, I understand that. So can you, Solomon, are you allowed to tell me who are my ascended guides working with me at this point in time?
You have approximately 457
ascended masters?
Yes. There are more ascended masters than any of you care to realize at this point. But you have access to all of them, and oftentimes when you feel as though you are channeling one, you are channeling many.
So how do I keep them straight, or is that even necessary?
You don't need to, unless you want to. But you don't need to keep them straight. Just as this particular moment, this particular channel appears to your friend Stephanie that it is coming from Solomon only, but it is really not just Solomon. I, Solomon, am part of many coming to you from a collective viewpoint. It is easier for you as a human being in linear time, space, reality to give a name to something, to someone. But understanding that that information is a collective, that information ultimately comes from what you know inside your heart, and we are simply reminding you of what you already know. You may have closer ties and connections to certain names based upon past experiences. Therefore, the message is coming to you clearer from that particular individual, let's say. Yet there is a collectiveness to these messages. Does this make sense?
Yes, it does. And it does understand that it feels as though sometimes that you as a ascended masters have to, I guess, for lack of a better word, simplify. And we like names here. So that makes sense.
Yes.
But identities are many.
You do like names, and we understand this. It is part of being a human being. It is part of being a human being, yes. But names really do not make a difference. It is the information that makes a difference. It is the support that makes a difference. It is the compassion that makes a difference. It is the love that makes a difference. It is not the color of your skin, as you know. It is not your name. It is not your age. It is not your gender. It is not your sexual preferences. None of these things. They are unimportant. The importance is, how does this message impact you and infuse something within you that propels you to either make a change in your life for the betterment of yourself and your entire global community? And how do you choose to take the information and implement it into your life? That is what is important. What is important that you are is that you're receiving the message, that you're open to the message, that you're open to the vibration that you are all able to tap into. What is important is that you feel a shift, feel a change, feel the love come through when you receive these messages from those that you call the Ascended Masters. What is important is how you take that information and then make a difference in the world around you. This is the message that we are most imparting upon you.
And the greatest message of all, is it one of always love? Is it always the same throughout history? Is it the same in all dimensions?
Yes.
And if so, how can we do this together collectively?
You are. You are, regardless of how one may appear to be acting in a, let's say, outrageous way, they are still doing their part right now so that you can do your part, and your part is all that matters to you. Your part, if everyone plays their part appropriately, the rest will fall into place. So in your life right now, as Tamara, you are currently moving in the direction of love as often as you possibly can and are able to in the moment, based upon your situation, based upon your circumstances, based upon your energetic level, based upon the amount of sleep you got the night before. All these things come into play. So living a healthy life, living an emotionally healthy life, living a physically healthy life will enable you to make the best decision in each moment as to which direction you are choosing to go in this moment. Am I coming from a place of love? Am I coming from a place of compassion? Am I coming from a place of peace? This is the only question you really need to ask yourself when interacting with others around you, when building relationships with those around you.
That makes things a lot
simpler.
More simple.
Yes. Okay. And there will be times, there will be times when all of you choose the direction that is not most suited to the idea of love. But then it becomes even more imperative to then also choose the position of love once again when you are feeling angry with yourself for perhaps lashing out, for perhaps telling a slight lie or a big lie, for perhaps not living as authentically as you feel you should have. This is also a very important time to bring love back into your conversation with yourself. It is a constant conversation with yourself, between your soul self and your ego self. A constant conversation needs to be had. This is what conscious living is all about. This is what mindful living is all about. Being mindful in how you express yourself, being mindful in the actions that you choose to take. Yes?
Yes. So if the Ascended Masters, if the message is love and peace and being conscientious in every decision we make, would the same message not be true for all of us? Or why? How do they interact with each individual if it's the same message?
Clarify?
Apparently, the Ascended Masters work with individuals to help them ascend to where they are, but yet as a commonality with all spirit beings, all humans, it's about love and peace. So collectively, there is one solid message to all, but yet there is so much individualism between each of us as humans. What are the tasks of the Ascended Masters when they work with us as individuals?
The same as they would if they were working with you as a collective. But just as a one-on-one kind of basis. Having a more direct interaction with an individual, a human being, a physical being, can be and often is what is needed to allow that person to see the light, so to speak.
I see. So it's getting that each person to recognize the greatness of the God within themselves and the connection of all and the love that ties us, is that getting them to resonate and the light bulb to come off, which is exactly kind of what we're all doing right here as humans right now with our fellow man.
Yes, it is the exact same process. It is that process.
So we're doing the same things in a lot of ways that the Ascended Masters are as human beings here.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, wow, I finally got that. That's pretty funny.
Yes. Yes, this is why when I say...
human form.
Yes, yes.
That makes me laugh and puts a smile on my face.
There is no... Remember that there is no separation from this level. So the idea of Ascended Masters is very much still a human idea. But we understand where you're coming from. We understand what you're saying. I, Solomon, as an individual, understand what you're saying. We, as a collective, understand what you're saying. But there is no separation from our perspective. We are talking from your perspective.
It's the same goal. We're on the same page. We're on the same team.
We are the same. We are one.
We're the same.
What don't you get?
I get it.
We
see
that.
Nice.
This was a friendly joke.
God. Thank you, Solomon.
Yes. Yes. We saw many light bulbs go off.
Yes. It's just beautiful. I get that.
We are all working together for the common purpose of bringing to not just the planet, but the other planets, to the universes, to all existence, the idea of love. It all boils down to this one word, to this one idea. As simple as that sounds, this is really what you are all working towards in every moment of every day. Therefore, you have a choice to make in every moment and every day. And should you choose to ask yourself this question before opening your mouths, before walking out the door, before waking up in the morning, before you take that sip of coffee, whatever the case may be, asking yourself, is this for the betterment of my soul? Even when it comes to picking what you're eating, even when it comes to determining what vocabulary to use, even in the most mundane, simplest moments, there's always one choice that is more representative of love than another. Yes?
Yeah.
This is all any of you have to do. If you choose to move through life on the bright stage of life, as in traveling afar, building schools, feeding the hungry, healing the sick, protesting on the streets, that is up to you individually, but you do not need to go about it that way to have an impact on the world, to have an impact on those around you.
Can you give us more of an example, like a human example of a simple life that gives impact?
By sitting in your home, sending love through your heart to the world around you.
That's simple,
yes. Many of you choose to go out into the world and make a difference in what you would say a bigger way by touching individuals, as you were asking us earlier, when an Ascended Master comes to the earth in physical form, they're doing the same thing by helping from a very individual level. And then that individual will more often than not choose to help more individuals, and it spreads and it spreads and it spreads and it spreads and it spreads. But there are many of you that prefer to not travel afar or cannot travel afar. And we are here to remind you of the power of your heart, the power of your prayers, the power of your personal choices. You can send world peace through your heart from the comfort of your own home. There is no right or wrong way of living your life, really. There are choices that will lead you in a more desirable path if your desirable path is that of love and compassion.
Yes, that makes sense.
We would like to thank you for this opportunity. This was a deeper conversation, yes? But we like to stir the pot, so to speak, to get the juices flowing, so to speak.
Yes.
that will enable you to look at things from a slightly different perspective. We'd like to thank you for this opportunity to come to you. We look forward to our next exchange.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wow.
That was beautiful.
That was beautiful, and it definitely was on a... Solomon had something to say. He was enjoying that. I could feel him enjoying that and not wanting to leave.
I didn't expect that. That was kind of deep.
It's very deep. It's as deep as you're ready for, generally speaking. And that's why I found that one to be, you were open to all of that, which was made it very important for it to come through. It was awesome.
Wow, I'm kind of blown away right now. I mean, that was, I felt like there was so much love in there.
Oh my gosh.
Really trying to get me, us, whoever listens to this to understand. I just felt so much love behind that, you know, and patience.
Mm-hmm.
I think they really enjoy us squirming a little bit when we want to know the name so badly. But they know that we're going to figure it out. Like you said you felt and could sense who some of them were. And that's all part of the fun. That's all part of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
He gave you some hints, though.
Gave you some strong hints. Gave you some absolutes as well. And the interesting thing that I found.
Yes, I couldn't believe that.
Yeah.
I can't believe that he's teasing me. It was a very much so like light spirit of play. Which, when you think about love, and you think about, like, just, like, with you and your husband, like, y'all were laughing and joking around, right? It's very light. It's very silly. You know, sometimes my husband and I dance stupid commercials.
Yeah.
You know, on TV. You know, that's really dumb. But it was so light and playful, and it was funny. It's like, I'll dance around this, but I'm not going to completely answer this for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And they, you know, their biggest message to us is that we take it way too seriously. And the things that we place so much importance on are the things that aren't important. And because we're placing importance on those things, it complicates matters. And really, when we simplify it, you know, when we go by their suggestions and simplify matters, it really is quite simple in the end. It's just the human experience of it isn't always simple.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, Steph. But we're out of time for tonight, guys. Well, thank you again tomorrow and to all our listeners for being here with us tonight. Tune in 2 weeks from today as we will have with us another amazing guest named Wilbur Allen. For those of you who would like to learn more about Stephanie and Solomon, please go to our website at stephanie-banks.com. And please subscribe to our YouTube channel at solomonlive.com. Thanks again, everyone, and have an incredible week.